Welcome to Elizabeth Baptist live stream. Appreciate each of you that tuned in with us this morning. I pray that the Lord would bless you in a mighty way. What we're going to do today is look at the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. And really all we're going to do is just work our way down through it. And the purpose of 1 John is that you may know that you have eternal life. That's the purpose of the whole book. And what it does is it gives different things that it shows you that goes with eternal life. And I'm going to give you some of those great and precious promises that's in this text also. So we're going to go ahead, 1 John chapter 5, and all I'm going to do today is work down from chapter 5, maybe down to verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 12, okay? All right, let's go ahead and we'll get started. And it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. To be born of God is to be born again, and that's the meaning of it. And it's the most important thing for anybody on this earth is to be born again. We were born physically. But this born again is to have a new birth, a new birth. And that's what the Lord does when he saves your soul. He brings about what is needed to save you. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So whenever somebody is saved, that's what the idea of the word born of God means. And that's important that everybody that if someone's never been born again, that's the most important thing that they can do in their life. Okay? So, faith comes through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And that's the reason why we come out on this Sunday morning to share with you the great gospel message of how to be saved. So, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And that's what happens when someone's been born again. When you've been born again, you've been born of God. And it's the greatest thing can happen to a sinner person is to be born again. And I'd like to ask you now, have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you, do you know Him? And I hope you do. So, it says, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That means you love God's people. Those that's been born again also love God's people. You see, it says, he loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So those that are born again also have love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a necessity. I mean, you have to, we all need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's a command. It's not just, I wish they would. No, it's something that you should do with all your heart. Okay, so, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's one of the things 1 John really puts an emphasis on, is that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. Here it mentions it again. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, God expects us, now that we have been born again and we've trusted Christ, that He died on Calvary for our sins and rose again the third day. It's just, it says, but this we know we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. So we seek to mind the Lord. I think there's something wrong if someone claims to love the Lord, but they don't seek to keep God's commandments. Now, I'm not saying you're saved by keeping the commandments. I'm just saying that when you're born again, you have a desire in your heart to want to please, God. And one of the ways we please God is by obeying His commandments. And that's what we seek to do. All kinds of different commandments. We've got the Ten Commandments, of course, right up here behind us. But there's all kinds of commandments given in God's Word that God's people are to obey. He says here, we love God and keep His commandments. Now that should be true of everybody that's born again. That should be true of everybody that is born again. We love God and we keep His commandments. Something wrong with someone that says they're saved, but yet they don't have a desire to keep His commandments. That's always, as a pastor, that's always bothered me. I look for people to be changed when they're born again. I look for people to want to mind the Scriptures when they're born again. I look for people that says they're born again and seeks to keep His commandments. I look for all of that. Because if you love God, that's what you do. I don't seek to do good things for myself or to save myself. What I look for is I look for the great and marvelous things that comes with the gospel. When the gospel message is preached and you trust the gospel message, that's the means by which God saves the sinner. So, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and do what? Keep His commandments. He expects us to do that. Just not the ten, but it's all the commands that's in the Scriptures. We seek to mind them. And we do that because we love Him. We're not saved by keeping the commandments, but if you're born again, you'll want to keep them. And you want to do that because you love the Lord and represent the Lord. So in this text of 1 John chapter 5, and remember that 1 John, the main thing about the book of 1 John is that you may know that you have eternal life. And those that have eternal life believe that Jesus is the Christ. Those that believe that Jesus is the Christ are those who are born of God. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Why do we keep God's commandments? Because we love God. If someone don't seek to mind the Lord, they don't love God. We seek to mind the Lord and keep His commandments because we love Him. And we want to mind Him and do what the Scripture says. Verse 3, for this is the love of God that we... Now, notice the emphasis. For this is the love of God that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So, again, he's speaking about the love of God. And when we have the love of God in our hearts and we've been born again, we seek to keep His commandments. We're not keeping the commandments to get saved, but we seek to keep the commandments because we are saved. And that brings honor and glory and praise to our King. So, for this is the love of God that we keep His commandments, and His commandments is not grievous. It's not a grievous thing for His children. It's not a grievous thing for His children to keep His commandments. We want to. All kinds of different commandments given in the Scriptures, but we seek to keep them because we love Him. Scripture says we serve Him because we love Him, and it's important that we do that. So, for this is the love of God that we keep His commands, and His commandments are not grievous. It's not a grievous thing to God's people to mind their God. It's not a grievous thing. It's a happy thing we do. I'm tickled to be able to take my God and share Him with other people. It's a wonderful thing to keep His commandments. That's how God's people are. That's how God's people are. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You see where it says born of God? That's to be born again. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, the word overcome here in this text, in verse 4, the word overcome means to continue. For whatsoever is born of God continues. And that's true of everyone that's born again. If you're truly born again, you will continue. If there's a lot of people that makes professions of faith, but they don't continue. That happens a lot. I look for people to continue because the Holy Spirit will keep you. The Holy Spirit will keep you. We are kept by the power of God. God keeps us. And that's why you continue. It's because He's your keeper. God is our keeper. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world or continues. They continue. That's the idea of the word overcome in verse 4. They're going to overcome. They're going to continue. And like I told you a little while ago, that's what I look for when someone makes a profession of faith. I look for them to continue. If they don't continue and go back in the world, there's just something wrong with it. Just something wrong with it. And because a new birth will change you. And with their, and like I said, if they've not changed and they continue in the route that they're going, then there's just something wrong with the profession. There's such a thing as a dead faith. You ever heard of a dead faith? A dead faith isn't saving faith. It's someone who makes a profession, but it's not from the heart. And when it's not from the heart, it's not going to last. Have I seen that a lot in 40 years of pastoring? Bunch of times. I've seen people that made a profession, but they didn't last. They didn't continue. They went back to the world and just didn't endure. Someone's born of God will endure. They will continue because they're kept by the power of God. How powerful is God? He has no limits to His strength and His power. So we are to continue. That's the meaning of 1 John 5 and verse 4. Now, this is the next part of this. I love 1 John. I've preached to it a bunch of times over the years. And the purpose of it, like I told you in the beginning, the purpose of 1 John is so that you would know that you have eternal life. That's what 1 John is for. And what you do is you go to the book of 1 John, and it gives you the characteristics. It gives you the characteristics of those that are born again. And, you know, the ones I've given you, so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You love, verse 2, you love the children of God. That's another characteristic. You seek to keep His commandments. That's another characteristic. So all these characteristics shows that you're born of God. Okay? Now here's the one, I love this one, and you'll know why here when I share it with you. I'm going to go to verse 4 again. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. You see the word victory in verse 4? The word victory? I don't know if you have it marked in your Bible. I think I told the church to do it before in the past. That's the word Nike. It's the word Nike. You see where it says in verse 4 again? For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. The word victory there is the Greek word Nike. Champion, you know? Think about it. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And that's what happens when you're born again. That's what is the Nike? What is the victory? It's victory over death. It's victory over sin. It's victory over hell. Think about all of that. And who gave us that victory? Jesus did. I got the victory over sin, death, and hell. I got the Nike over sin, death, and hell. That's the greatest victory I ever won. And it wasn't me that won it. Jesus won it for us. That's a wonderful thing, ain't it? Verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world? Here's the question. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's pretty plain, ain't it? Pretty easy to follow, I think. To overcome is to gain the victory over the world. There'll be a lot of people one day that, I don't know when Jesus has come, like we've said so many times in this study, but the most important thing in the world is that you have victory over death. Would you not agree with that? Every person needs to have victory over death. And the greatest thing, the greatest victory you can receive is this Nike, this victory, and it overcomes the world. And it overcomes death, too. It's one of the greatest victories you can have. So who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Think about that for a little bit. Who is he that overcomes the world? That means to gain the victory over the world. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you trusted, have you believed that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? To get the Nike, to get the victory, you got to trust that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. Sometimes people say it's too simple. It's not. It's not too simple. People can look at that and can understand why they need to be saved. And why do they need to be saved? Because you need to have victory over death. You got to have victory over death. What matters if people die and go to hell at the end of their days? I mean, it might be the richest person in the world. It might have billions and billions of dollars, but the day they die, it's all going to stay here. The victory in 1 John 5, the Nike, is eternal life. In our families, that we have, we got a pretty good bit of Arthur's in Bancroft and around Putnam County. But the important thing for what we want for our children is we want them to be born again. We want them to be born again. We want them to know Jesus. We want them to have everlasting life. We want them to go to the Father's house when they die. What could be more important than that? I can't think of anything any more important than that. We need to have the Nike. We need to have the victory. And that victory in 1 John is victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over death. And victory over hell. That's three victories. And you get that victory by trusting in Jesus Christ. All three victories come through Jesus. All of them. Sin, death, and hell. All of them come through him. Verse 6. And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus, not by water only, but by water and blood, and the Spirit beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. That's the Holy Spirit. He beareth witness that we are the children of God. Verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son. All three work together. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of God, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This witness of God, which he has testified in us. Verse 10. Now, this is probably my, I love the text. He that believeth. Notice how many times we've used this term believe. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory, or the Nike, that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's what the victory is. What's the greatest victory you ever won? What's the greatest victory you ever won? The greatest victory I ever won is sin. Jesus gave me victory over sin, over death, and over hell. That's the greatest victory you can have. There's a lot of people that's lost out there in this old world, and they need this victory message, this great victory. And he can give it to you. It's not something that you earn yourself, but it's something that God gives you. He gives you eternal life. He gives you the gospel message as the means of your salvation. Okay? All right. Verse 10, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Of course, the Holy Spirit is within your heart when you trust Christ as your Savior. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. And he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. There's a lot of people that haven't believed. And it says, he that believeth not hath made God a liar. That's a dangerous text, isn't it? That's a dangerous text. What God give us is true. What God gave us is true. He that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. There's a lot of people that's heard this message that I've give out today, and I preach it many times in many places. And the greatest thing in the world is that they would receive eternal life. Verse 10, I love it. Now, are you ready? I want you to listen to this. I'm almost done. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, and he believeth not, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record. Let me say it one more time. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Sinner man, you need to listen to that text. If you're out there and you've never trusted Jesus, verse 11 lays it right out for you. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? What's the greatest thing I have? Eternal life. When I die, if I die, I'll go off to glory one of these days. Either by death or rapture, I'm going up, boy. And this is eternal life. Eternal life. How long's eternal life? It's forever. Sometimes I talk to people, and I'll say, one of these days we're going to be spending forever together. That'll be a wonderful day, won't it? So this is, he speaks of eternal life in verse 11. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life is that? That's eternal life. It's what it's speaking of. He that hath the Son. Now I want to ask you a question, you that are listening. Do you have the Son? Have you trusted Him as your Savior and know it? Do you have Him? Or will you die without Him? Only two types of people. Those that know Him and those who don't. I want you to have eternal life here today. It'd be a wonderful thing if you trust Him as your Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. And that life here is eternal, everlasting life. You got to have it. People want all these different things for people. Yeah, I hear people say, sometimes they talk about a good job and they'll say, man, you got a job there, you got a job for life. You ever hear people say that? You ever hear anybody say that? They do, they say it all the time. You got a job there, you got it for life. Beloved, you ain't ready for life unless you're ready for death. I'm ready to go up at any time. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but if Jesus would come, or if I die, listen to me. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. This past year, my mom and dad, they went to this church for, years and years and years. One of these days, well, let me say it this way. I know exactly where they're at. Nothing's lost. People talk about when someone dies, we lost this person. Nothing's lost when you know where it's at. I like it, don't you? Nothing's lost if you know where it's at. All right. I'm going to wind up with verse 13 here in just a little bit. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, you got a life here, but it's not going to be everlasting life. That's what the text is all about. He that hath the Son hath life. That's eternal life. He that hath not the Son, he don't have eternal life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God. Now this is what 1 John is all about. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. See, that's the purpose of all of this book of 1 John. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. I like that, don't you? Isn't that a wonderful ending to what we're going to be doing today? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? The book of 1 John makes it crystal clear of how He saves a sinner. crystal clear. He gives you the victory. You're born of God means to be born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I mean, it's all through the text. What I want to ask you to do is to trust Him today. And He'll give you the Nike. He'll give you the victory. And this victory is going to be victory over sin, over death, and over hell. You'll never have a greater victory than that. And I pray that the Spirit of God would touch you in a mighty way today. If you've never trusted Jesus, today's the day to receive the Nike. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for our helpers here today who come out to help and encourage and things. And we pray for our services this evening at 7:30. We pray that folks will come out to worship with us and also on Wednesday nights. Father, we pray that we'd see souls saved and that you'd touch hearts with your word. We love you, great King. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.